epistle lesson today is from 2 Corinthians 4. Hear this word of God for you today. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we're always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. Death is at work in us, but life in you. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out the power of your Holy Spirit into our hearts and our minds. Fill us, Lord, with that sense of your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I've always loved the phrase, everyone has a story. I love that little Steve Hartman segment on CBS Nightly News when they tell everyone's story. But you often don't realize that everyone has a story until you start really listening to people, especially complete strangers. I was touched by the woman at the shoe store last week. She just started telling me her story, and she told me about being engaged, and that her fiancé was 7 years younger than her, and that one day he just had a heart attack, went into a coma, and then died on her birthday in August. And she was wondering if I knew where you could buy Peeps, the Easter candy, because his favorite holiday was Easter. And so we were talking about how she might find some Peeps in the summer. Everyone has a struggle, a story of struggle, a mountain that they've been climbing, or one that's just coming up on the horizon of their life. Everyone has this because life is a mess. We live in a broken world, don't we? And really, everyone's struggling with something all the time, right? It's just whether we admit it or not to anyone else or ourselves. I mean, denial is incredibly powerful. So Paul's words to us today about being afflicted but not crushed are very important words. Paul is brutally honest in the New Testament. In fact, if you keep reading after this passage and you get to 2 Corinthians 11, he describes his own life this way. 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys I was in danger from rivers, bandits, my own people, Gentiles. I had danger in the city and danger in the wilderness. I was in danger from false brothers and sisters. In toil and hardship, I had many a sleepless night. I was hungry and thirsty, often without food, even cold and naked. And besides these other things, I am daily under pressure because of my worry for the churches. Wow. But he's not the only one. The Bible is full of people who are not ashamed to admit their struggle. Job, when everything was taken away from him, he sat down and cursed the day he was born. Naomi, after losing sons, told people to change her name to Mara, which means bitter, because she was bitter after that loss. Elijah, He fled Jezebel and then just decided, I'm done, like with life. The book of Psalms is full of laments about the injustices of life, about disaster, about illness, about war, and more. Even Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? If there's one thing we learn in the Bible, we learn that it's okay to admit your struggle. In fact, it's honest. It's healing. And ideally, church should be a safe space for that, a safe space to come and then hand our struggles over to God, even if we struggle to leave them with God when we walk out of the building, because that sure happens, doesn't it? Isn't this a place where we should be real? Where we should be able to admit what we're going through? After all, many people are facing and have faced similar challenges in this church. Mental health issues, addiction, job loss, caregiving, grief, cancer, chronic pain. Some have lost children and some are waiting for kids to come home. What is your struggle? What is your struggle today? I want to encourage you to just take a moment in your heart and name it. What is the biggest mountain that you are facing right now? It means something to admit that to God. In the 12 steps of AA, the first step is to admit that you are powerless over your addiction. We are powerless over the mountains that loom large in our lives. Now, does admitting your struggle mean you can handle it? Does it mean you can beat it? Does it mean you have plenty of courage to face it? No. Sometimes it just means you're hanging on one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Sometimes it means you're just going to survive, and that's okay. All of this admitting the struggle, it's different than self-pity. Self-pity is about blaming. Self-pity is the idea that we're never getting out of this. Self-pity is the idea that I'm all alone in my suffering. No one else is suffering. Self-pity can feel good for a while, but it doesn't lead to healing. Most of us know the author Victor Hugo. Legend has it that when he was exiled and he finished his meditations every day, he would pick up a stone and throw it into the water. And the children who knew him asked him one day, "Why do you take a stone and throw it in the water every single day?" He said, "They're not stones, children, not stones. I'm throwing my self-pity into the sea." It's little wonder that during 18 years of adversity, he gave the world some of the greatest books and some of the most profound insights. If we don't admit our struggle, how can we hand it over to God? We can't. We just keep hanging on to it like a chain around our heart. So what happens if we do admit to ourselves and other people that we can't handle this alone? Well, that starts to change everything. That even changes our relationship with God. Because when things really are falling apart and you feel like you're having a breakdown, by the power of God, you can be on the cusp of a breakthrough. I read a great quote this week by Shauna Nyquist. She said, "When things fall apart, the broken pieces allow all sorts of things to enter, and one of them is the presence of God." In Japan, there's a beautiful way that they deal with broken pottery. They repair it by using gold or silver to fill the cracks. I was reading about this and looking at some of this pottery, and it's beautiful because they don't hide the cracks. In fact, they highlight them as part of the beauty. What if God is doing that in us? In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God, please take away this thorn in my flesh. Take away this disability. We don't know what it was, but we know it affected him. And what did God say? God said no. God said this: my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. For whenever I am weak, I am strong. So true and so hard to hear. In the classic movie Forrest Gump, Forrest has a best friend, Jenny. And one day she returns from one of her many prodigal journeys, and they meet at her old childhood home. And this home is falling apart. And as she looks at this dilapidated house, she becomes overwhelmed with emotion because this was a house filled with physical and sexual abuse. So she picks up a rock and just starts throwing, and another one. And she's just throwing rocks at the house until she finally collapses to the ground. And Forrest just gently comes over to her and says, Jenny, sometimes there are just not enough rocks. Amen to that. Sometimes there are not enough rocks, right? Sometimes there's not enough pillows to scream in or dishes to break. I say if breaking something like that helps you, you should do it. And before you judge it, you can give it a try. I know firsthand that breaking old Goodwill dishes is very stress relieving. So why do we admit our struggle? Why do we admit how much it hurts us? Why do we need to get real? Because that's when the power of God can shine in our lives. When we let go of our troubles, that's when we can surrender them to Jesus, who tells us in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. Do you need that as much as I do? Don't we all need that surrender and then that rest for our souls? Jesus promises it is ours when we surrender. What if we let those words of Jesus soak into us? In fact, what if we just take a moment right now, and I want you to say to someone near you this phrase: give it to Jesus and receive rest. Give it to Jesus and receive rest. Does this giving it to Jesus mean we won't hurt anymore? No. Life still hurts even when we give it all to God. Consequences still come even when we stop making the bad choices. Life is messy on this side of heaven. But what it does do for us is give us a chance at life. Real life. The life that Jesus promises in John 10 when he says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. When we give it to Jesus, when we surrender our problems to God, that's when this powerful hope can appear in our lives and this chance for new and abundant life becomes very clear, becomes possible for us to live in a new way. It doesn't mean we won't hurt. It means that God is in the middle of the hurt and God can bring hope and healing and help right in the midst of our troubles. It's just like Isaiah 43. God doesn't promise to take away the fires and the floods. God promises to walk with us through them. Same with Psalm 23 that we heard twice today. It's that same promise that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us, comforting us. We're never alone. We never need to fear. That good shepherd provides all that we need, including the restful green pastures and the thirst-quenching still waters. That good shepherd sets a table before us, even before our enemies. He heals us with anointing oil. He fills our cup to overflowing. And we've all heard that last phrase in the psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The Hebrew word doesn't just mean follow. It means pursue. Pursue. Jesus pursues us. He runs after us to make sure we get that goodness and mercy that we so desperately need. Jesus is like the father of the prodigal son who sees him way in the distance and just starts running. Do we need to have our act together for Jesus to do that for us? Absolutely not. Which I think is a great insight because, frankly, I think that none of us have our act together, do we? Instead, we need to accept. Accept and receive God's grace and love and rest. We need to let go of the mess so that God can take it. And you know who else walks with us through those valleys? The body of Christ. Our family of faith. Our church family can actually be fellow travelers on the road of suffering. And there's a power that comes from the cards, the meals, the phone calls, the errands that are run for people. There's a power that comes especially in the listening and the presence of other believers. Have you ever experienced that in the church, in the body of Christ? I can't even tell you how many times the church has lifted me up, how many times that all of you have given me hope and strength and lifted my spirits. I was reading a sermon this week that described the great sequoia trees in California. And how surprised he was to learn that the roots do not go down deep. They don't. They're actually so close to the surface that you can see them. So how do they withstand all of the wind and weather? The roots are intertwined. The trees hold each other up. That's us. We are the trees. We are the ones who can hold each other up. Even in the toughest times, it is that connection that God gives us between one another to help us endure the wind and the weather of life. So frankly, it's okay if you are not okay today. In fact, that's great. It's okay to not be okay. You don't have to be okay to show up to church, thank God. You don't have to be okay to be a part of a community of faith. In fact, it's preferable if you're just real. If we're real with one another, if we're real with God when we come to this place. For when we admit our struggles, when life falls apart and things start cracking, that's when the presence of God really flows in our lives and the power of the body of Christ can bring hope and help. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. Our Savior Jesus came that we might have new and abundant life, and that life is ours when we surrender. May we all hand over our burdens to God and be real with one another. And to that, all God's people say, Amen. Amen. It's not in the bulletin, I don't know why, but our affirmation of faith today is the Apostles' Creed. Please stand and join with me.